Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shay Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
In the midst of your church, let your name alone be exalted. Let your name alone be mentioned on the lips of your saints. Let your name alone be held in awe and in dread and in fear in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless us this day, Father, with your Spirit. Give to us eternal food that we may live. We thank you. We glorify your holy name. Thank you, Father, for this gathering. We commit it once again to your care. That, Lord, you will administer your grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6? Hallelujah. The whole gospel, or gospels, if you may, is basically a fight between the kingdom of God and the systems of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. It was when the apostles came that they began to confront Babylon and began to confront all kinds of worldly systems. But the foundation was actually the Pharisaic order that he had to confront. Praise God. It was a serious fight. It was a serious fight.
Now, amen.
I said amen. On Sunday, we looked at Jesus' manifesto on the mountain. The Bible says he went up that mountain and then he began to speak to his disciples and said, blessed are those who thirst for righteousness and all the rest of that. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 6 of Luke. Amen. God will help us to develop. Anywhere we stop, we'll... And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, wrapping them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto him, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Hallelujah. What was unlawful? What were they doing? They were plucking corn to eat. And they said it was not lawful. Now, where did they get that from? Now, in the Old Testament, God had said, on the Sabbath day, no man must walk. Every man must eat. In fact, an instruction was expressly given that even to go out of your tent to gather manna was unlawful. Praise God. To gather wood was unlawful on the Sabbath day. Amen. So, by implication thereof, or therefore, to pluck maize while walking through the field was unlawful. Praise God. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Sean Weary? Alright. We'll find out. Because what this is going to help us is to understand the kind of righteousness we are dealing with. And Jesus answered them, verse 3, said, have you not read so much as this, that David did, when he himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, and how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the shewbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone? And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. This is where we begin to understand the New Testament. Western people speak about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath holy, not working, and all the rest of that. And Jesus began to list certain principles there about the Sabbath. Paul was to write later on. He said, if a man decides that the Sabbath is holy to him, it's holy to him. If one says that it's not holy to him. It's unto God. Hallelujah. Therefore, you must understand the principles of the Sabbath. Amen. What was God doing? It was not a religious law. It was basically an hygienic law. That your body needs to rest. Are you understanding me? Your body needs to do what? To rest. Work 6 days, on the seventh day rest. That is the design of the human body. Hallelujah. But they took it to the point, it became a religious law. That even, you may be stoned, if you are found doing such menial jobs. Praise the Lord. So Jesus established that he had dominion over the Sabbath. In fact, he had to say somewhere that the law was actually made for man and not man for the law. Do you understand what that means? Because you must be careful that you don't become legalistic. We must understand that the law was basically put in place to help man, not to cage man. Now that does not give you the right to go break it. Amen. But we must understand the circumstances under which a man is operating. Amen. You see a person having to do something, and you must ask yourself, why is he doing it? What are the circumstances that warranted him doing that? The law really said that the shewbread was only holy and lawful for only the priests, not the Levites. Only the priests had the right to enter into the holy place and eat the shewbread. Are you with me? But David came. And David came with about 300 men. And I can tell you, those men had nothing about holiness. Praise God. They were rough guys. They were downtrodden guys. They were not the church kind of human beings. Praise God. Are you with me? They were not well dressed. They hardly do they go to church. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying they don't go to church, but I just try to picture how bad they were. Praise God. I'm probably doing some exaggerations here. Praise the Lord. You more. Amen. Hallelujah. Say you are following my story. Then the Bible said he was hungry and was running away from Saul. And he saw the high priest. I said, I'm hungry. And my men with me are hungry. And the man said, there is no food here. Save the shewbread. And David said, that is good. And he collected the shewbread. There, God should have struck him dead. I don't know whether you are making sense here. God should have done what? Struck him dead. But God didn't strike him dead. The Bible says he ate, and he gave it to the men with him. Now, we consider David a prophet. He was already anointed to be king of Israel. So we can excuse him. But what about the men that followed him? Were they anointed also? No. Hallelujah. There was an extraordinary circumstance that warranted David eating the shewbread. And therefore, God did not impute it to him as unrighteousness. And God overlooked it. So if you stand as a Pharisee and look and say, David, you had the shewbread. Today you die. God didn't kill him. It is you that is trying to kill him. Are you with me? And how does that reflect in the way we judge people? The way we judge how people act. Amen. Now, it's a different thing somebody acted willfully. Like Uzzah, stretched forth his hand and stabilized the ark. All of them were a transgression. All of them, from David down to the least of them, all were Elisha. Praise God. Because the law stipulated, you don't carry the ark of God on anything less than human shoulders. And that has to be the priest of... It's not even the shoulder of the priest, it's the shoulder of the Levites. I don't know whether you understand me. Only the Levites have the right to bear the ark on their shoulders. Not even the priests. Not even David. Praise God. Am I making sense to you? So, God could stretch out his hand and judge Uzzah. Because he was judging his system. That you don't undo holy things like that. Praise God. Now, you must also understand the place of the shewbread. Amen. See, the shewbread is not things of the most holy place. There were little accommodations that God could accommodate. Hallelujah. Am I communicating to you? You could accommodate certain things. That's why it's possible for a young believer to dress one way and God will not consider it as a sin. And another person who is more mature will do the same and he will be. Knowledge. What law did Moses break? Tell me, what law did you break? Let's tell me, any of the Ten Commandments, you know. Tell me. Oh, did you break any? Did you break it? Why did you enter the promised land? Because there is a law that was not written that they didn't tell you and I, that Moses knew about, that they could not permit him to get away, go scot-free. Because to whom much is given? What do you expect? So the higher you climb, the more it becomes dangerous. As you approach the most holy place, you must tread carefully. So when you look at a believer who is becoming more matured in the faith, the major indices is does he fear God? The more you grow, the more you grow into fear. Because as you're approaching him, the more you're approaching dread. I don't know. Is it possible for you to love somebody and say fear him? Is a very interesting mixture. Yeah, you're not afraid to approach him, but you're afraid when you're approaching him. I don't know whether you understand me. Moses said, I trembled exceedingly when I saw the sight, yet he was approaching it. And when he came there, God didn't kill him. But you could see a lot of fear and dread as he came into the presence of the Holy One. Am I talking to Ross? So God didn't judge David. So he was telling them, you must have read it that God didn't judge David. Then that should have taught you a principle. That there is the way God judges men is not the way men judges men. They were judging his disciples because they had Miakon. God didn't judge David, who did a more grievous sin by the standards of the Pharisee. I want to ask you, what have you been judging recently? God will help us. Because if we... God will help us. Amen. I hope I'm not talking to myself today. Praise the Lord. Now, this was the problem of Sabbath. This was Sabbath problem Jesus was fighting in Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that he might find an excuse, find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man, which are the withered arm, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And look around about them all. He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with what? What were they filled with? They were filled with madness. Remember somebody where I was filled? Being filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak as they gave utterance. These guys were filled with madness. Because everything they thought, it came against it. Remember the first one, you should not pluck. Now, he now came to this on the Sabbath day and deliberately decided to heal on Sabbath day. Praise God. You can't appreciate this word, you are not a Jew. Hallelujah. The Sabbath is the most sacred, one of the most sacred holidays. Now, somewhere he was asking them, if your ass or donkey falls into a pit, will you not carry him out on the Sabbath day? Then they were looking at him. You see, they were doing a religion that nobody was thinking. Nobody was having enough time to think and think through. Nobody was inquisitive enough to ask, is this right? They just laid it down on them, and that was it. Praise the Lord. So he told them, is it okay for me to heal and to save life? And they could not answer, because they had said that evil healing is work. So, to heal is work. So he did not touch the man. If he had touched the man, he would have been accused seriously. So he stood and said, okay, bros, rest at your hand. Why they were mad was that he avoided that trap. That was the reason for their madness. He did it, he defied them, and I'm very sure they must have told him, they must have sent emissaries, don't try what you tried last time, that you guys, you broke the Sabbath. This time you tried them, we now did it again. Now they were mad. They were filled with madness. Have you ever seen people filled with madness? Have you ever seen somebody get mad? Madness is a spiritual. It's like wine. When a person is mad, he is mad. And commit one with another what they might do to Jesus. That was the beginning of the problem that Jesus ran to. And I think it was deliberate. Praise the Lord. What was their righteousness? It was the righteousness that what the Bible calls the righteousness of the law. I hope you are following this teaching. Praise the Lord. I think it's been a long time we've gone into Gospels. 20. Go to verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and live for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But I pause here. What was Jesus Christ saying? Even though we are, you know this, because the prostitutes, praise God. Listen. Remember the time when a young man who was born blind was healed by Jesus. Do you remember the story? And the Bible said the man, you don't know who healed him, and he ran into the temple and was shouting, was healed. And they asked him, who healed you? He said, it was one person I got, I think his name was Jesus. He said, it cannot be the one. And I think the discussion went forth and back, and they now said, they now called his parents, is this your son? They said, it's our son. Is it true he was born blind? They said, we was born blind. Then how was he healed? He said, we know not how he was healed. He's of age. Ask. You know why they could not come out? Because they were afraid to be thrust out. They didn't want to be separated from that something. When you get to a certain, it's called peer pressure, or whatever they call it in psychology. Everybody wants to belong. Praise the Lord. Nobody wants to give a dissenting view. No one will say, ah, sir, I disagree. Because to disagree is to be thrown out. So we have a lot of people who are, I'll pray now. They are sycophants. Praise God. Why? Because whatever it is that they are gaining, they don't want to lose it. The good name and everything, whatever it is, they were going to be thrust out of the synagogue. That was a threat. If you follow this, Jesus will trust out of the church. He will not give you communion. That was the time the Catholic Church wielded so much power over the souls of men. If you don't take communion, you are doomed for hell. So, if they threaten you with communion, you must comply. Then all your great-grandfather that has died and gone to hell, there's a way we can help you. You drop some offering, we will release him from purgatory. Are you with me? And it will be wrong for you. There's only your own grandfather that's left in purgatory. Everybody has given offering to release their grandfather from purgatory. You are sitting again. I will not give. They will throw you out of the church. So you go and your father go to hell. These ones will release their parents from purgatory. So you will comply. Hallelujah. Is this thing making sense? So Jesus Christ was telling people, listen to me. If you guys want to follow the kingdom, then he was ready to stand for what you believe. Everyone who has followed the lamp through the ages where people were destitutes. Where people were thrown out. There were people who were never accepted by the mainstream religion of their day. They were, in a quote, they were rebels. Read the story of the Reformation. Those men were haunted from city to city. Tundell, how many of you have read the story of Tundell? Lost fugitive. Tundell was the one who compiled the English Bible. And as it was on the run, the Catholic Church declared him wanted, dead or alive. They put a bounty on his head. For every city he went to, they were hunting him down. And he was running from the Catholic assassins, he was translating the Bible to English. Am I talking to you? The year he finished the translation, and it became a complete translation, that was where they captured him. And that was where they beheaded him. Few years later, the translation of Tyndale that was outlawed in the realm of the Roman Empire, the British monarch, King James, picked it up and made it available to all Englishmen and put his name there, King James Version. That singular act led to a war between Rome and England. Bible. Where's my Bible? This you carry around, English Bible, was what sparked the Reformation. What sparked the rising of the British Empire. When they won that battle, the British Empire ascended above all nations of the world. And they spread their tentacles all over the world because they were the one who stood and defended this Bible. No nation else did. Of course, they fell on the day a British man, because they were the one who also built the Titanic. It was the British that built the Titanic. The great discoveries of the world was done by the British. And they said, even God can't sink the Titanic. It was the first voyage God sank it, and the British Empire began to win. That utterance is made should not say. You don't speak against the heavens. But that's for another day. The issue we are talking about today was that those who moved God's work were men who were never accepted by the mainstream religion. So when he said rejoice in the day, live for joy, your reward is great in heaven. What motivates you to stand for what is truth? Oh, you need to read the story of Martin Luther when he stood before that council to defend the truth he believed in. You need to read those stories and know that men have faced death. It was not all of them that God delivered, though. Some of them God didn't deliver. Of course, you have to go back to the book of most of them God didn't deliver them. They burnt them at the stakes. Few that survived, we are reading their stories, was many. It was the story of that boy and monk. He said, you killed the Bohemian Groose. He said, there's another one that is coming that you will not be able to burn. It was Martin Luther. It was fulfilling prophecy. So, men and brethren, please let us pay attention. The reason why these things were written is for the days of persecution. They were written because a system will persecute you. A system that believes in serving God is going to come against you. So Jesus Christ said that, look, blessed are those who are poor. Because the system will make you poor. Rogerio was praying yesterday. He said, the fact that you have made up your mind to serve God, Satan will come against you and deprive you of money. Because let me tell you, this thing runs on money. Paul said that when I left, nobody communicated with me except the Philippian church. You think it was easy to carry gospel? Without anointing, if there's no money, you can't. That anointing will die within there. That's where the system is run. So we have to find a way of working within the system. Praise God. So that's why this issue of prosperity message is anti this thing. Because we cannot be prosperous. I'm sorry. You cannot be prosperous and carry yourself and go to Chibok. I say, I'm going to preach there. Why would you come to land? Are you with me? You see, you have put yourself in a position that you cannot risk your life. So when Jesus was speaking, he was talking against a system that the Pharisees had set up that was anti everything the kingdom of God stood for. So if you are going to stand for the kingdom, then know that you are going to be deprived, you are losing certain privileges. Then the issue is, how do you respond? What should be your attitude? Because you can look, praise God. I often tell people, in a way, it's painful. I remember that I pulled out of the civil service and I was like, I was believing God. I'm going to become a GM, have money, be riding my own helicopter by now, hallelujah. And I'm still trying to repair my GMC, praise God. My colleagues that stayed behind in the civil service that weathered the storm, they are PSs. And yet, man for man, pound for pound, I better pass them. Really, I'm not supposed to. I just have weaknesses. My former guys tell me, we have all of them, you want those matches. So if I stayed there, my DPS, I do one. Them now play politics. Praise God. But maybe I would have. I'll be preaching something else. I won't preach this gospel. I'll be preaching how you can make it to the next level. Praise God. So I thank God for the ordering of self. Now, you see, I can look back and feel very bad. And pray a prayer, God, all the people have overtaken me. All the people who have overtaken me, I pray, make me overtake them again. You know where that prayer is coming from? So, discontentment. I'm not rejoicing. Please tell that person making noise there to you. Please, somebody go and tell that man to relocate his leg. Hallelujah. Live for joy in that day. Don't feel bad that you have lost certain privileges. You can't ride a car. Don't. That's not an issue. Your mate have built 10 houses because you are following God. Oh, the day, man. Go easy. When I was a teacher, you remember the story I used to tell in a library, don't read. Those are my wonderful students. I cried. Said, God, I've served you all these years. This is how you repay me. I was breaking this word because I didn't understand. That you need to learn how to rejoice. Because you serve God and you have suffered for serving God, doesn't mean that God will forget your labor of love. Again, a problem that many of us do not remember that there is a reward awaiting us. It is not only in this life. There is still a time when every man, including Obama, all of us will stand before the great judge. And then you will hear open reward. That some will get condemnation, God will get praise. How many of you have attended the convocation before? I think all of you, next convocation footer, you must all attend. It's mandatory. I will ask you. It was there during my convocation. One small girl, he could best graduate student, College of Medicine. She cleared all the prices. One wara me pay, would you want me? I was ashamed. It was glory. Her parents were happy. She still collected what she still going. The best price, cleaning of sections, they call her name to come back again. I thought I'm going to draw. I thought I would draw a part of it. It is you know that clap for the best students. Now I now sat back and said, if it is this glorious in the realms of men, how will it be on that day when you stand before God and the creation will clap? When you say, well done, my faithful servant. Creation will clap. Then so I have to change my attitude. From that day, I began to make up my mind, I'm not interested in the praises of men. It doesn't matter. Yes, I may be deprived, I may not. I had a very funny experience when I was growing up. There was this young boy who was the bully class from primary 2. He bullied us to primary 4. He told us that his father was the owner of the school bus. And if we don't settle in during break time, lolly. So everybody pay homage. After that, you got some meat, and he will take what he wants to take and give the rest to you. I did that for primary 2. I did it for primary 3. Primary 4, I revolted. Because I sat down when I began to say, that can your father be? So I looked at his uniform. Kodoto Tiwa. I saw his shoe. But you're a liar, but I can look. If your father, because we had about 6-7 luxurious school buses. Our small school, KKA. If we go to school, your father be the one that has this thing? Ron, I don't believe you. Ron, I'm not giving you again. I thought he was going to fight me. He didn't fight me. He just ostracized and excommunicated me. Mother, I will stand for the truth. I'm not going to come. I'm not giving my food again. They ostracized. At that small KK, they ostracized me. You don't know what it means to be ostracized. I was like an orphan. He now took it to the place where it paid me most. He now said, even with football, when they want to choose team, they won't call me. No, wahala. Then they now did themselves. That's the interpretation. Primary 3 was to play primary 4. They didn't choose me. The best football player in primary 4. And now I pray primary 3. Can I play for you? They said, I play for them. No, we don't need you. Okay. And I joined primary 3. Oh God, they hated themselves. At the time they stopped the game, he said, she'll come back to your past. I said, on what conditions? Sebastian will no longer control this class again and everything. That's how I broke his back. Oh. I became the righteousness of faith. So I know what it means to be ostracized. It's not easy. But can you? Well, even it's easy for Pastor Bakari to be shouting. He's virtually the only one shouting this question. This thing is not right, and nobody said us. And nobody cares to take anybody up and say, this is not right. The day he looked at, he was reading Bishop Edeko wrote one book, one very funny book like that. And he stole a man in a bottle. Because they were friends. So anytime he publishes a book, he sends his bookshop. And missionaries come from all over the world and went to his library and to his bookshop and they bought the book. They were returned to their corner. They began to get into calls from Tanja. Pastor Bakari, how are you allowing them to be selling occult books in your occult equity? You know, what you mean? No. There's a book here by your friend. It's not possible. So he took the book and read it. And I'm finished. And he tried to get across to Bishop. Bishop would not answer him. And what he now came on air, took the book and tore it. And threw it away. Bishop was angry. So they met on the plane. And Bishop said, how dare you tear my book? He said, no, I didn't tear your book. I tore my own book. Because I used my own hand to buy it. How can Bishop argue with a lawyer? What? You can't win. Now, you see, that's not even the issue. The issue is that people began to take sides. How can he go out and... You see, but he was trying to save your soul. And you couldn't see that this man was speaking about something that was wrong. Wrong practice. He had gone occultic. Occultism is not when you carry... Where's my sugar? My sugar. Level come here. There are other levels. Why you call a man in the bottle? God have mercy. Occultic things are going on in the church and they call it faith. It's not faith. So can you as a church stand alone? Hallelujah. We have stood alone in this city for a long time because I have refused. I will not practice the things they practice. I said at the beginning, if God is God in heaven, then he will increase this work. If he doesn't increase it, I won't lose one sleep. My wife knows I've never gone to bed worrying about PGT. When it's time to sleep, I go and sleep. Tomorrow we take care of yourself. Hallelujah. So by there, they take care. I walk. I will move on. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? Yes. They don't call me. I'm not a bishop. They don't call me to meetings. I'm not in PFN. Because they would once told me, I want to see how you will prosper, how you will make it without us. So the only thing that I will need is when I want to travel abroad, I go to embassy. They will say, who is your father in the Lord? Me only father in the Lord. So Murakbe engineering certificate. Me only Murakbe engineering. Me only pastor. Me only letter of introduction. Me only preach anywhere. If God opens the door, fine. If he doesn't open the door, I sit in my house. It's not by force. Amen. Can you let God go before you and make his your way straight? Or you make it straight for yourself? Hallelujah. said, your reward is great. For in like manner did their fathers unto who? The prophets. It's a system. It's designed to choke you. It's designed to make you look stupid. It's designed to make you look unwanted. These things we handle is life. And so it was in the days of Jesus. Amen. In the days that Paul walked this earth, Paul was not a popular preacher. I've said that before. He was not a popular preacher. He was ostracized. Nobody wants to identify with Paul. Amen. So Paul was always begging, even the church he founded in Corinth, he was pleading with them to appreciate that he was an apostle. Because the package wasn't right. Hallelujah. These are values we must understand. And the Lord will help us. Where's my Bible? Again, Jesus Christ went on. Hallelujah. Verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer unto the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Can we talk a little about this? Then we will finish. I mean, this one is getting interesting. Amen. Please, Jesus is our standard. I'm not preaching Jesus because I've done it too. Did you hear me? I can excuse that Jesus did not mean what he said. They don't mind Jesus. He's not serious. It doesn't mean what he said. How can somebody slap you and you turn your leg? It's possible. You hear me? Pay your cook or cool it down. To act by electricity. Go. That way, she broke. Amen. I can excuse my feelings, but let us judge ourselves properly. Are you with me? Because if we go back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking there in another way, was speaking about this. He said, look, if they bid you go a mile, be ready to go 2 miles. Paul now reinstated that in another way. He said, you use good to exhaust and defeat evil. Because the Pharisees said, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Hallelujah. Now, that is the reaction of the natural man. That's how the natural man will do. And if you do it, nobody should say anything because there's a law that backs you up. Praise God. But that, he now introduced another law that is higher than that law. That says, if somebody smites you, offer him the second. Now, the issue is not necessarily people slapping you, but can you suffer injury and you still put yourself in the way of injury? What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example. Somebody came to you, Tony, and said, you please, can I borrow your pair of shoes? And you release your pair of shoes. And later, you saw the person and said, I'm sorry, it is on. Kiliwaso. But Maria said, Lai, you room me. I'm not the one that was born of my father. Am I talking to you? Or the person, or you don't talk, like most people don't do. It is sunny, okay, God bless you. Hello. But you are like, to bankulo, lai, I won't help you. That is a good Christian. Some Christians will say, I will curse you. You don't produce my shoe, I will curse you. Those ones are going to fire. Because we were discussing this morning. You have right. You have not right. You have power to curse. You do have the right to curse. Did you understand what I mean? I have the power to carry this chair or table. But I don't have the right to carry it. Even though I have the power, I'm not permitted to use it. There were disciples who looked at the Samaritans and said, Master, permit us to release fire, like mountain of fire, from heaven and consume the beggars. They are not appreciative. Now you can throw fire on demons, but not on God's people. Not even on human beings. And Jesus looked at them and said, you don't know the manner of spirit you have. It was a rebuke. And never again in their history did you see those apostles ever open their mouth to curse a man. James writing, he said, how dare you open your mouth, the same mouth you use in praying, God I bless you, the same mouth you are using to curse a man made in his own image. So those who open their mouths to curse must be careful. They may just be. It's the same thing when you say to your brother Raka, say you are in danger of hellfire. It's a curse. It's not that you are stating a fact. Statement of fact. So you are an idiot. It's not an abuse. It's a statement of fact. But it's a different thing when you look at it and you know when you are abusing him. Praise God. You are disparaging the image of God. Praise the Lord. Say you understand me. So where was I? You are not following me. Now I've gone beyond that. I was giving an example of slapping. When you are vulnerable. So can you get yourself in the same position that that brother or sister will come again and ask of you for the same favor? Will you be willing to give? Hallelujah. There are some people that are horrible, though. They are very horrible. I've met them before. But God did not play the responsibility of you judging who is foolish and who is horrible. You are not given the permission to take that decision. But really, the word of God is clear. It says, put yourself, offer them again. Over time, see, yes, you may. The problem is that if you are going to walk in this law of the Spirit, you are going to be vulnerable to abuse. You will be vulnerable to abuse. You think people didn't take Jesus for granted? Did that stop Jesus from healing people? You know, I just finished people and nobody came back to say thank you. He didn't even come back with an offering. Oh God. Have you ever told people, and I helped this person, you know? Let me use this word. Before this guy became commissioner, he used to come and eat in my house. The minute he became commissioner, his phone just changed. No word. And you are pinged. Will you stop helping people? Because the people you have helped in the past have been ungrateful. Am I making sense to us? The Pharisee system says you don't put yourself in that position. You retaliate and for good measure. Obey sang a song many years ago. He said, Do you know the meaning of that song? Oh God. If you, because of your wickedness, send rats, demonic rats, to your enemy, and in response by sending demonic snake against you, you know, it's not proportionate. Rat and snake, a rat was sent to go and eat his food. A snake is sent to come and kill you. Hallelujah. But that is a wrong system. Heaven says you don't respond like that. So we look at Jesus. How vulnerable did he become all the days of his life? The man lived a life that made him very, very vulnerable. And my God, they took the man for granted. He said, but there are not 10 that were healed. And this poor Samaritan, only him came back to give thanks. Abi? Have you ever done good to people and they never appreciate you? Oh, think about it. So it's about appreciation. So it now concludes that whatever it is you want men to do to you, or how is it, as you want that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. How do I wish men to treat me? Obviously, if because of my stupidity I misplaced Sister Toyin's pair of shoes and I'm in need, I should be willing to come back and sister to say, "Ma, bin ojo ojo show le fumini agwe." We must go jaya mini. So they have to be sorry, go jaya mashallah. Praise God. But I will still love her to release the pair of is it pair of shoes again or the next pair of shoes or slippers, whatever it is she's using. Praise God. I will want her to do that. Is that not so? Now, if I want her to do that to me, then I must also be willing to do that to somebody else. Jesus put it in this other way. He said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, then your Father never can forgive you. So we want to see how you relate with men before heaven will know how to relate with you. So look, there are certain things that heaven, many of you want supernatural power. They don't release this thing until they begin to see you walk in certain righteousnesses. There exists the righteousness of the Pharisees. It starts from these little things. So I want forgiveness, then I must be ready to give forgiveness. So if you are not ready to give people forgiveness, don't expect forgiveness. Hallelujah. So, David, remember, I want to bring this thing to a close. David did not become David because God didn't know where to pour the oil. When you guys were small, I don't know what to do when you guys were small. It's been long. I want to now carry oil, pour your head. No, that God didn't do that. The scripture says the eyes run to and fro the whole earth. He's looking for men and women whose heart is steadfast. He's looking for them. And he said, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil, I've anointed him. I found him. That means there were criteria God was looking for. When he got to David, he found those criteria there. He said, this is my anointed one. And poured oil on his head. Hallelujah. So, God is looking for whom he will anoint. But he is watching every day. Who will follow these things? Am I talking to you? I'm sorry. Shall I pass my measure?
I hope I've not passed my measure.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at him. It says, verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. So you've not done anything fantastic. If only members of PGT you love. Even in PGT, only I want you to me. And you can come and you see, listen to me. This thing has a way of giving you a satisfaction before God. Are you with me? You're happy because everybody around you is happy. All my friends are happy. They're happy. But you see those foolish idiots, don't be borrowing. Oh, I'm sure you're alone. You don't like one at all. I want you to me, I'm like one. I'm fine. Okay, amen. How would they thank you if you only love those of your own clique? The praise is that you're able to love those that should not be loved. Why was Mandela honored? King Mandela, did Mandela turn the economy of his nation around? No. Did Mandela create nuclear bomb? Did he write a great book? Did he propound a great theory? You know, the only thing that Mandela did? Forgiveness. These people incarcerated him for 27 years. Took away his youth. Took away his life. And the fear, even when they talked to the queen, Queen Elizabeth, President Queen Elizabeth, that were thinking of releasing Mandela, she said no. That it will spark a civil war. All Mandela needed was to tell ANC, those guys that did us say, it is time. The Yoruba says something. Say, you don't ask about the death that killed your father until they put the sword in your hand. The sword is not given to you. You're asking, who killed my father? No. You like the person who killed you too. Praise the Lord. Until they have given you the sword, you don't ask questions. So if they gave him the power like this, Pem, president of South Africa, you will say, hey, all those guys that made sure that I stayed for South Africa, I will show you too that I'm a wicked man. They would have opened the gates of hell. And that single pronouncement. The man said, forget it. It's over. Let us. And he embraced them. The world trembled, for they have not seen that before. It was not done by a religious man. It was done by a man who is just a simple politician. I believe that the man met Christ in the jail. Because a natural man can't do it. But the man again carried Christianity on his face. So. I don't know his story. Oh. Please don't go and say Mandela is born again. I didn't mean more. Hallelujah. I'm just taking my own. Oh. Praise the Lord. But if Mandela did it, then he will condemn many of us. What was Jesus saying that? He said, woe to you chosen sin, just consider. He said, Sodom and Gomorrah will rise in judgment against you. Because if what you have been hearing was preached to them, said they would have repented. As bad as they were, Jesus was affirming that they would have repented. So listen to me, the way God will judge people will be terrible. You go, how God do not have, how could I have ever been born again? You need to look, think about it now. Eh? I was the PA to the president of Nigeria with all the things we are stealing. How can we have the food we are sharing? We can't be born again. Then somebody will come out from maybe, not Boko Haram. It will be Daniel. Who served the most corrupt kingdom of the world? Say, but I too serve the corrupt kingdom. And I will maintain my righteousness. It is his pronouncement that will judge the person. God will talk. So your righteousness must exceed. Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you can judge. You can't judge because we've not fulfilled the righteousness. We can't judge in this nation because our own hands too are not clean. Let our hands be clean. It will not take us one day prayer before they topple this government. But we can't go before God and topple God because our words were not clean. I don't know what I'm talking. Because these things are true. If you don't pay attention to it. So if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Continue. Let's rush this over. Let's really rush it. Next 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. 34. And if you lend to them whom you hope, remember, you hope to receive. What thank have you? Have you done anything extraordinary? No. For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. 34. But love your enemies and do good to them. And lend, hoping for nothing. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So when the Bible says, be ye perfect, this is perfection. So blessed are thou when God throws you in the midst of wolves, when you have wolves as roommates, you have terrible unbelievers. Who are horrible. It is God blessing you. So you can don't look at them as enemies. Look at them as this is. Go to them and say, I hug them and say, God put you here to be a blessing to me. I appreciate you. You see, that guy will become your friend. Because you have already disarmed him. There are guys who hate Christians. I don't like believers. Don't talk to me about Christ. Just say, look, you were gone. You are just the bright package. Amen. Because God put them there to help you fulfill righteousness. Men that should not be loved, you are the one showing them love. Hallelujah. It's both a litmus test and also a way of removing the evil in your own soul. Praise God. I'm okay. Am I okay? All right. Praise God. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Don't think for once they will not take advantage of your good. Don't think for once they will not abuse you. Don't think for once that they will not. You know how many people God has done good for and they never say thank you? You know how many people wake up in the morning and never say thank you, God, for keeping my life? Or go to bed and say, God, and God will keep quiet there and be looking at them. So, but when they knew God, they did not recognize that God. They were unthankful. And yet, that didn't stop God from sending the rain and blessing them. I was talking about Jonah one day like that. I said, the sad thing about that, this man may live for the next 100 years or may live up to 100 years. Only about it to cool. Have you read Ecclesiastes? Said there's a great evil he has seen under the sun. There's happened to the, as it's supposed to happen to the wicked, so it happens to the righteous. There's a punishment that should happen to the wicked, it's the righteous that gets it. Then that which will happen to the righteous is the wicked that gets it. Have you not seen the have you not read Psalm 73, when the psalmist said, he said, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. You go and read those things. I know that you think it's easy. He said, their mosquito does not bite them. They don't have problem. They kakaraka. So, you now ask, what is the profit of serving God? They don't pray. They don't give tithe. They don't. You think everyone understand God? Praise God. Long ago, I realized. See, the car I bought Natukumbo car. It was unbeliever that properly drove it. Unbeliever designed it. Unbeliever built it. Unbeliever drove it. Yeah, I buy a second hand, and I come to church and say, I want to tell you that my God is good. My God is powerful. Then I saw a presence of a few people around the whole place. Don't you think there's something wrong with me? Those things are not what proves my righteousness. They are not what proves that I'm serving the living God. Because unbelievers themselves, when they plant, if they don't even need to plant, just clear ground, and God can send all kinds of good things on that ground, and the man's harvest will just sprout. Am I making sense to you? So, if God is so generous to unbelievers, to all people that are unappreciative, then how can we tell that you are the Son of God if you don't begin to show the same to people? I don't know if I'm making sense. These are the things that test our righteousness. It is true that Jesus is the righteousness of God. Now, what that place means that we are the righteousness of God, that means, you see, why you are the righteousness is that, you see, God is saying this, that I will raise mere men from dust and I will make them to be like me. You're proving it is proving his righteousness. That doesn't mean they impute righteousness into you and say that I can see no more. Anything I do now, Jesus is my righteousness. You will go to a fire. Because you are not proving his righteousness. So we are the righteousness of God, created in Christ Jesus for all good works. These are the good works. Say you understand. These are the good works. When our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. Let us stop here tonight. Any question? Okay.
So, Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, it says,
Matthew
chapter 5 verse 3.
Yeah.
The Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I will say, the people that are very, very well filled with the Holy Ghost, that are filled, endowed with the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit, I will say those people are rich in the Spirit. And those are the people that are qualified for for the kingdom of God. But Jesus Christ here is saying that poor in the spirit. Who are the poor in the spirit? How can someone be poor in the spirit?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, give me Isaiah 66 verse 1, please. Say for all, now, let's take from verse 1, then we go to 2. Go back to 1. Let us read it. He said, thus the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? 2. For all the things hath my hand made, and all the things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. When a man is poor in spirit, it does not mean the man is lacking in the Holy Ghost and anointing. It's a state, it's a disposition of mind that is, how do I put it now? He does not have, or he comes before God and is always aware that he's always in need. A poor man is a man always in need. He's a beggar. Are you with me? When you have a beggar, the guy is always perpetually in need. He's always asking. So when you are coming to God, you must be a person always in need. God never answers men who are not in need. There's this popular saying, God only helps those who can help themselves. That's not true. God only helps those who cannot help themselves. So you must go as a poor man to God. Always, you must always appreciate the fact that you don't have enough. I like it the way one person put it. He said it must be an Oliver Twist. Now, the counterpart to that is, blessed are those who thirst and hunger. He says the same thing. So, if you are full, God can't fill you again. There's nothing he can do. He can't bless you. So, you must always be hungry. So he was using, how did Paul was saying this? He says, this is what I press unto, that I may apprehend. You know what was talking? An hunger and a thirst for righteousness. When you come to God, you must be poor. Say that I may know him. That's the poor man talking. That's the man that is discontented. That's a man that lacks. You are in lack. Only men who lack come to God. Are you with me? Even if he has given you anointing, you must realize that you are still a poor man. But don't see poverty from the perspective. It's human, you know, the way we... And yet, it's a paradox. The man that is poor is actually the man that is rich. And yet, though he's rich, yet he comes back to God and says, I'm poor. Now, though he was poor, through his poverty, we became rich. When was he ever poor? Because he was perpetually in lack. He was completely dependent on God. So it was dependency on God that produced the riches we have today. Yet, you too must learn that same lesson, how to be poor. You deliberately make yourself poor. Because you get to a place, Father, just bless you. Kaba Shatarama. Oh, Shehia has said. Do you understand that tongue? Kaba Shekema. Actually, discovered me. Everyone said, this is what we can't help. We are looking for those who are better, who are really in need. We will attend to them. So it's a disposition that you must always have. Say, they are poor and of a contrite. You know what it means, a contrite spirit? It means. A broken heart. A heart that is not, he has nothing to hold on to. There's nothing. He just comes before God and says, God, I'm naked for you. There's nothing. I have no. So when Paul was speaking about his boasting, he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, look, I want to talk as a man. This is not God. You provoke me. So let me boast. Praise God. And God gave him permission to go and boast. But when he turns around to meet God, he can't boast. So everything you have, they give you. So what is your noise? Are you with me? They give you. Your beauty, they give. Your height, they give. Your leg, they give. Your hair, they give. Share to work off when. Owo to unu off when. So cut off when. Air got to breathe off when. So So remain poor. Praise God. Then when you get become, when you stand before Pharaoh, don't talk like a poor man. Are you with me? When you stand before the prince of this world, don't talk like a poor man, because before him you are not poor. But before the throne you are poor. Can you balance it? Do you interpret that to me? What does it mean to go 2 miles practically?
I think that scripture has to do with patience. That if a man tries to expire, tries to frustrate you and expire your patience, you should still, with the capacity that you have, make him understand that you can't frustrate me. And by the help of God, still suffer longer. Yes, sir. Long suffering. Ability to.
Another way is to, again, is to look at the devil. Can you outlast the devil by mere patience? Can you outfight him? He's fighting you, he's trying to trigger you to respond with haste, and you are cool there. And everything around you is wrong, going upside down. You just take, can't quit. Paul puts it that way. He said, Abel done not stand. Are you with me? That means Abel fought that round. You are ready for the second round. Do you understand? Without complaining, you are ready for round two. When it goes round two, you are ready for round three. You are ready to exhaust everything you can throw at you without you complaining. You are just there like that. Praise the Lord. Now that is righteousness. That's the righteousness that God can boast. That, have you considered my servant? There's not like him. He's patient. The Bible says that believers will not make haste. The world is, somebody was speaking, was Rick Jonah. He said it's in a vision he saw Jesus walking towards him. He said he's never in a hurry when he's walking. He walks majestically. How will he be in a hurry when he's the one who controls time and space? But you, Lord, I'm married at the age of 12. Are you very woo? That person is not ready to go 2 miles. Hallelujah. It's a disposition, really. It's a disposal. It's a character. It's a, one of those character traits of a warrior. He can go 2 miles. He can outbox the enemy. He can outlast the enemy. It's called spiritual stamina. And how did Jesus practicalize this? That's the last question. Because the best example is he who taught it. Praise God. How did Jesus outlast the enemy? Can anybody help us? Second illumination. How did Jesus? Because I need you to understand these things from scripture yourself. Can you okay? Amen. Glory to God. Satan. No, I'm not praying. I'm only looking at. I can quickly see what happened on that cross. Say they bid you go 1 mile. I already go 2. As they hung on that cross, Satan was making fun of him. He was taunting him. Was taunting him. And he did not react. He went the full length, even to the point of giving up his life. Paul now wrote in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he said, have you resisted sin to the point of shedding blood? Are you willing to go that far? How far can you go for righteousness? How far are you willing to go? Some have paid the price with their lives. How far are you willing to, how much are you willing to give? Maybe you go in mind, you are ready to go through. You are ready to go far and beyond what they are asking you to. Then show that you are ready for this righteousness. Am I making sense to us? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Can we rise on our feet and let us receive mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. We need mercy and grace. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Can you ask God for the grace to walk in the righteousness of faith? This faith requires certain kind of attitude, certain kind of disposition, certain kind of ability, which only God can help give. Because He only helps those who can't help themselves. He only helps those who do not have the capacity to handle anything. There's a reason why you and I need to pray. Let us talk to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, help us. Our righteousness, the demands on us that heaven has placed on us, must go beyond what ordinary mere human beings can do. And Jesus telling the disciples, He said, with men it is not possible, but with God all things, including your capacity to outlast the enemy, your capacity to walk in such a way that you can go 2 miles. Only the Lord can help. You must be of a contrite spirit. You must be poor in spirit for God to move into your situation. I need you, God. We need you, God. We need you. The challenges at this stage in your life may not be grievous, but this is the way it starts. When you take your position, when you take a stand and say you will do that which is right in the sight of God, the enemy, hell's fury will break out against you. All kinds of situations around you will begin to change. But God will stabilize you. Lord, help us. In the midst of the trouble we are in, help us. That we can maintain our testimony, maintain our walk, maintain the way we do things. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit field meetings, School of Diocese, every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.